right. Well, praise the Lord. Just thankful to be here tonight. I remember when I was a nurse. And when I worked as a nurse, my coworker and I, if something serious was about to come in, we would say, okay, we need to do the things, we'd call it, because there was a lot of things to do. And so we'd say, we got to do the things. And she would say, well, you do the things and I'll chart. And so we kind of had it worked out. And in life, we've got a list of all the things we got to do. We've got, do I have enough money to get through? Do I have enough clothing? Do I have enough food to make it? There's so many worries in life. Could someone sit over here? Just so otherwise, I don't know. Anyway, we got a loaded room right here. Praise God. So we want to do good. We want to do those good things that we know we should do. And the thing is that without God, we can't do the things. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Monica. Without God, we can't do the things. And I want to in Revelation 2, 1 through 7, it talks of a church that did all the things except for the most important thing. Revelation 2, 1 through 7, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, Jesus says, and you have not grown weary. So let's pause right there. They're doing the things. They're doing all the things. They're doing what God has called them to do. And Jesus says, I know your works. You're toiling, you're patient, you're enduring. You can't bear with those who are evil. You've tested them. You've found them to be false. They're doing all the things. And despite doing all of that, he says in verse 4, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. I'm going to read that again. I have this against you. You've abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. This is some serious stuff. They did all the things. They did the stuff that they had felt they were supposed to do. But they missed out on that one important thing, their love for God. We cannot miss out on that love. It's so serious that Jesus tells them, you must repent. You must turn away from that way of living and do a new way of living that I have for you. We don't want to miss out on that love for God. That is the foundation, because God is love, right? There's another story in Luke 10:38-42 with Mary and Martha. You might have heard this story before. Now, as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to come up and help me. So, have gifts of service. And so I identify with Martha. You know, I'm here, I'm doing all this work, I'm doing the things that I feel like I'm supposed to do. I'm helping other people, I'm serving them. And we're called God's servants, right? We're called to serve. Jesus came and he washed his disciples' feet and he said, I'm washing your feet, I want you to do this too. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so it's interesting, verse 41, Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. Sometimes the things in life get so important that we miss out on the main thing. Are you taking the time to be still and to know that he is God? Are you taking the time to love him and sit at his feet and to worship him? Because if we're not doing that, we could be doing all the things and miss out on the main thing, which is loving God. We're created to love God. Got another example in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. He says, I am nothing. If I give it all away and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I have gained nothing. Without love, we are nothing. We need to give up that nothingness, right, to gain God's eternal life. Because this is how a servant should be. Because we're called to serve. John 12, 25 through 26, whoever loves his life will lose it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternity. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Jesus isn't saying we shouldn't serve. Jesus is saying we need to follow him and be where he is. He is the main thing. And God is love. So we need to examine our hearts. Who are we trying to please? Are we putting away the necessary things of this world so that we can love God? Are we following God and putting his will first? In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Because in my mind, people who are casting out demons and people who are prophesying and people who are doing all these mighty works, those are really churchy things. Those are things that we think that Christians should do. But if we are not doing the will of God, and if we are not working in love, Jesus says, I will never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. He calls it lawlessness if we are not doing what God wills us for us to be doing. So our eyes need to be not on the things, but on our Savior, on our King, on Jesus. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has works for us to do. He's not saying, don't do the things, don't do the works, but it needs to be according to his rules, according to what his will is. Our eyes can't be on the things, our eyes not to be on him. Because if our eyes were on the things, then we could take all the credit for it. We could say, oh, look, I did this, I did this, I did this, instead of saying, God, thank you for doing this. God, thank you for working in this way. God, thank you for what you are doing. Our eyes need to be on Jesus. With King David, no one saw kingship in him except for God. When people looked at David, they did not see a king. We like to see all the things. We like to see what people are doing. We like to see all of that. God looks inside of us. And our hearts need to be seeking him. So in 1 Samuel 16, 6 through 7, this is when Samuel anointed David as king. All David's brothers were lined up. Samuel comes, and he looks on Eliab, and he thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We try to please people. We try to make people happy. We know we need to be good, right? We want to do good things. We know this. In church, they tell us this. Do good things. Be good. The problem is that we cannot be good without God. I've heard some people say, I'm a good person. I just do bad things. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And unless we turn and repent, I got to do it. Sorry, Alex, it's going to mess up the cameras. So I don't know how many times in a day I do this at the jail, but I'm going to do it here, okay? And I've seen Pastor Russ do it, and I got it from him. So this is repentance, okay? Repentance is, I'm heading down a path I shouldn't go on. I know I shouldn't go this way. Something stops me. Either it's me or it's God. Something's like, you know, I don't belong here. I've hurt myself. I've hurt other people. I've hurt God. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm so sorry. That's forgiveness, okay? I ask God for forgiveness. This is repentance. I'm going to turn away from that thing that is killing me, and I'm going to go towards God. God, I'm going to search you, seek you with all my heart. Your word says, if I seek you, I will find you. And now you're heading in a new direction. That's repentance. In Matthew 23, 25 through 28, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may be clean. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And that word hypocrisy or hypocrite in the Greek, it means an actor under an assumed character. So it's someone who's pretending and playing a role in life. pretending to be good, pretending to have it all together, where inside you're falling apart and things are not right and you're not okay. That is being a hypocrite. Another word for the hypocrite is a dissembler, and I had to look that up because I didn't know what it meant. It means to put on a false appearance, to conceal facts, intentions, or feelings under some pretense. You want to cover up because you don't want people to know how bad it is. That is what a hypocrite is. And hypocrites want to look good on the outside, where on the inside they're hurting, they're a mess, and they need God's help. And so people want to try and think, oh, I got to do all the good things. I got to clean it up on the outside. I got to stop doing drugs. I got to stop drinking alcohol. I got to stop being in poor relationships. I got to stop. When God is saying, let me clean you up on the inside first. Then we're going to take care of the outside. God is saying, let me heal you on the inside. And that's what he told the Pharisees. First, clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean. Otherwise, we're just full of dead bones. God wants to heal us from that deadness. I've had people tell me, I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. I'm doing all the things, right? But I just feel dead inside. And I want to come back to, are we leaving out God's love? Are we leaving out sitting at the feet of our Lord and Savior, leaning in on Him, loving Him so that He can heal us and cleanse us and make us whole again? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have a sin problem. We're dying on the inside when we leave God out of the picture. Because you see this Bible here? People look at this and they say, oh, it's so overwhelming. There's so much in it. The thing is that God's not going to give us this, His Word, without giving us Himself, without giving us the strength to read His Word and know His Word. We have to go to Him to do the things that He tells us to do. We need to go to God for the things of God. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5 says, understand this, that in the last days will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with deceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. There is power in the name of Jesus. Don't leave Jesus out. Don't leave Jesus out of Christianity. We need God to do the things He's calling us to do. We need to come back to loving Jesus. Monica, can you come up and read Revelation?
Revelation 2:4 yeah. through 5. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent.
Thank you. We need to come back and repent Our souls are so precious to God. He wants us to know him and his love, his great love for us. And in loving us, we want to love him back in return. It says in his word that we love him because he first loved us. So this is the love of the Father. 1 John 4:7-12. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we may live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, for if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. As a church, we need to repent. As individuals, we need to repent. The first and greatest commandment is loving the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God is love. God wants to grow something inside of us. He wants to grow his kingdom within us. In Luke 17:20-21, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, Jesus answered and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." We got to take care of what God has put within us, not trying to fix the things that we want to be good in, we want to do good in. We need to let God heal us on the inside, clean us on the inside, cleanse us from the filthiness, from the death, allowing him to take care of the rest. In John 6:28-29, they said to Jesus, what must we do to be doing the works of God? What must we do? And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." It's all about Jesus. It's not about the prophecy, casting out demons, doing the mighty works. It's all about Jesus. Because God wants to build something within our church, within us. And in Ephesians 4:12-16, it says to equip the works of the saints, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. In love. So when we work in love. When we serve in love. Because God is love. He has a purpose and a plan for each of us that can be operated only by God's love through loving God, and then Him helping us to love other people. He has a plan for our church. And that plan involves maturity. Love matures us. Knowing Christ. So we need to be built up in love. So why don't you stand if you are able to stand, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you are working within us. You are working in your church, and it goes beyond us trying to do good things, because we can't. Jesus, you said that only God is good. We need to get our goodness from you, Lord. We need to get our healing from you. Lord, help us to love you. Your love for us is so great that you went to the cross in our place and died for us. Lord, help us to repent and turn away from that sin of not loving you, of not loving others. You want to build something inside our church. You want to build something inside of us, your kingdom. And that kingdom can only be achieved through your love, through love for you, through love for others. And you said that they will know that we are your disciples because of our great love. Lord, your love is great. Help us through your Spirit. Unify us to love you with your great love. We pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.